Legendary activist investor Philip Goldstein is here. He's co-founder of Bulldog Investors, and we're going to discuss how a recent rules change could have a very serious impact on closed-end fund shareholders. This is The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, which covers all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator will point you in the right direction. Joining me today, it is a distinct pleasure and privilege to talk with Philip Goldstein, co-founder and portfolio manager at Bulldog Investors. And if you want more information, bulldoginvestors.com. But to say he's a legend in the closed-end fund space may actually understate the case. Now, before we get in there, just a quick reminder. If you want to learn more about everything that's going on in the closed-end fund space, go to AICAlliance.org, the website of the Active Investment Company Alliance. Philip Goldstein, great to chat with you again.
Good to talk to you, Chuck.
Now, the last time you and I spoke, it was last fall. AICA was holding its first ever conference, and you made a point there of saying that you felt that regulators were trying to take most of the activism out of the closed-end fund space. And in the middle of the pandemic economy and with everything else that's going on, the SEC passed a rule that, well, it's a tool that allows closed-end funds to fight activist investors. Is this the turning point and the end of activist investing as you know it?
Well, Chuck, it's a little early to tell that. I think that's overstating it, but it's certainly a milestone and not a good one.
Explain a little bit about how the SEC's action is set up and why it would discourage folks like you from doing your job.
Okay, so let me give you a little background. Under the Investment Company Act, there's a section that states that every share of stock issued by a registered investment company shall be a voting stock and have equal voting rights with every other outstanding voting stock. Certain states like Maryland have set up a law, a statute called the Control Share Statute. And what these statutes do is that if a company opts into the statute, it prohibits a shareholder that acquires more than 10% of the company's outstanding shares from voting any shares above that amount. Those two things seem to conflict. And back in 2010, the SEC wrote a letter addressing that control share statutes, and it called the Boulder Letter. It was issued by the Division of Investment Management, and they analyzed the legislative history and the congressional intent behind Section 18I, and they concluded that closed-end funds would violate Section 18I if they opted in to a control share statute. So, May 27th, the staff issued a bombshell statement in which it announced that it was withdrawing the Boulder Letter and that from now on, funds could opt into a control share statute as long as the board believed it was fulfilling its fiduciary duty. The staff didn't say that anything in the Boulder Letter was incorrect, but by withdrawing the Boulder Letter, the way I see it, it's effectively said to the fund boards, you can go ahead and violate the Investment Company Act as long as you have a good reason. It's shocking because that's, as far as I know, is the first time the SEC has ever said to anyone that you can go ahead and violate a federal securities law without obtaining an exemptive order. To give you an analogy, it's as if like the traffic department issued an announcement saying that from now on, anyone can park in a no parking zone if you have a good reason to park there.
Also at the core of this is what activist investors do. Quite honestly, I paint activist investors as heroes. I'm a journalist. I've covered the industry for a long time. You guys go in where you find a massive discount, where the firm doesn't seem to be willing to do anything to help shareholders realize value, and you put pressure on them to recognize that value, to open-end the mutual fund, if that's what it takes, and help everybody realize the value that's there. But In this, if you're reading the SEC's letter and you're reading things like the Investment Company Institute's support for it, they are talking about activist investors as if it's a bad thing. They call you profiteers. So is there any scenario where you, as an activist investor, kind of go, hey, you have to be protected from some kind of bad activism as opposed to what has historically been seen as activism good for consumers?
Look, activists have a handful of tools, but the ultimate tool is the shareholder vote. It's a proxy contest, and it's expensive to run a proxy contest. So nobody's going to undertake a proxy contest if they can't acquire a significant stake in the company. And by limiting your ownership to 10% of a fund, for example, let's say it's a $100 million fund to $10 million, and saying, well, if you go over that, you can't vote your shares, is effectively deterring the proxy contest. Whether boards and activists agree as to what's good or bad, that's really a matter of opinion. Ultimately, we have to leave it to a shareholder vote. I mean, sometimes, look, I've been involved in a lot of proxy contests. We've lost a lot. We've won some, too. What this position that the SEC is taking effectively means is that the boards are not going to be held accountable to shareholders because it's going to put a significant impediment in the ability to run a proxy contest because it's not economically sensible to do it. So there's really no accountability. And it, the reason it's so shocking is that the SEC is supposed to protect investors, not fund managers. And let's face it, the fund managers claim to be looking out for the shareholders, but many of the actions that we advocate for would adversely impact their fees. And we believe that's the real reason. And this is actually a perfect example of what's called regulatory capture, which is when a government agency whose job is to protect the public from abuses by a particular industry become sympathetic to that industry. And there's really nothing in the SEC's most recent letter that indicates any benefit to shareholders. It's obviously designed to protect managers. I mean, let's face it, management and activists in closed-end funds are almost natural enemies, and it's rather shocking that the SEC seems to have lost sight of who he's supposed to be protecting. It's very disheartening to see the SEC take the side of the industry over investors.
If we get to a spot where activism is not active, where it is wiped out, as you suggested it may be when we talked back last fall, does that make closed-end funds dramatically less attractive for average investors?
The problem is this may be the camel's nose under the tent because they may pursue other anti-takeover provisions that are also of dubious legality. If these things take hold and the SEC sits on its hands and it does deter activism, as you suggest, I think the result will be wider discounts across the board. So I would be cautious about buying now because I think you're going to see wider, like 20% plus discounts. And with no activism to prod managers to do anything about it, that could be a permanent situation. I mean, I've been investing in closed-end funds since the 70s. And in the 70s, when there was no activism, I mean, you saw plain vanilla closed-end funds that like invested in S&P 500 type portfolios that were trading at a 25% discount. And with no catalyst to do anything about it, that's where they stayed until the 80s and 90s when activism started to evolve. And I don't think if shareholders having to sell their shares at a 25% discount is good for investors. And I don't know why the SEC doesn't see that other than, as I said, regulatory capture. They get lobbied by the ICI and the industry. They don't really pay attention to investors. It's very sad.
Phil, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. I look forward to chatting with you again down the line.
Thank you, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. I'm Chuck Jaffe, and you can learn more about my work and my show at moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Philip Goldstein, co-founder and portfolio manager of Bulldog Investors. Learn more about him and the firm at bulldoginvestors.com. The Navigator Podcast is available every Friday. Please subscribe where you find all your favorite podcasts. We hope you'll join us again next week. And until then, please stay safe, everybody.